If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Topic that we are going to delve into today or in the upcoming episodes probably is Nazr, and that's what we are going to do according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we continue our program, let's take a listen to short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. So,
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Manjad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. The topic that we are still, beginning to talk about from the last episode onwards is Nazr or Vow. Sheikh Javed, you kindly provided us with a good definition and some of the conditions of Nazr, but I want to ask you about full detail, requirements and conditions of Nazr. What are those conditions and requirements?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that it is necessary that the person making a vow should have attained the age of legal responsibility.
Right.
Now, if a child wants to make a vow, his vow is not binding. It does not have any effect, and this is the first requirement. The second requirement is that the person who makes a vow should be sane, okay, should be in his senses, and he should do it consciously and deliberately. And this is the second condition. And then the person should make the vow with free will, okay? Free will. It means he should do it of his own choice, of his own accord, and he should do it with intention, okay? Intention. And if a person, for example, let's say if a person is coerced or forced or compelled to make a vow, and if he, if he makes it under compulsion, makes a vow under compulsion, of course, the vow will not be obligatory. And also if a person makes a vow owing to excitement, okay, mm-hmm. because he's excited, let's say he's not in very and proper condition, and he did not mean to make a vow, but because he was excited, he did it, his vow is not in order.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I see.
So, and I would like to further explain this. You know, if a person who is, let's say, feeble-minded, a person who is not able to tell the difference between good and bad, okay, he is, we call it as a feeble-minded or safi. A safi is a person who squanders his property for useless purposes. He wastes his money
mm-hmm.
without even himself knowing that he is wasting his money. So he's actually a feeble-minded person.
Mm-hmm.
So such a person, if he makes a vow, for example, to give something to the poor or to do something, actually, his vow is not in order either.
Or valid.
Yeah, and the same is the case with, with a bankrupt who is interdicted, yes, because he is a mahjur according to Islamic Sharia, and a mahjur is someone who is interdicted, who is unable to touch his money, use his money for many reasons, because he owes other people a lot of money.
Right.
So one of those people who is interdicted is a feeble-minded person, and another person who is interdicted and who has no right to use, no right of discretion over his property, is a bankrupt individual who is insolvent and unable to pay back his money, to pay off his loan. So if a bankrupt individual or an insolvent individual makes a vow to pay from the wealth over which he has no right of disposal or discretion, of course, the vow will not be valid, and of course, if such a vow is made, this vow is not binding.
Shasha, with a very quick question, what about underaged individuals or children?
I think I said that the person who makes a vow should have attained the age of legal responsibility.
This is
the first condition.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. The topic we are talking about is Nazr or vow. Well, Sheikh Javed, can a husband make a vow for his wife or revoke it or cancel it? What about a father in relation to his children, his son, for example?
Yeah. First of all, I would like to say that a person cannot make a vow on another person's behalf. In other words, it's not right, it's not permissible to make a vow and get someone else involved in the vow, okay? Because that person should have, that person has nothing to do with the vow you make. So if you make a vow and get someone else involved, that individual has no responsibility. He is not supposed to do anything.
Right.
So this is the first point. And the second point, when it comes to revoking the vow made by a wife, okay, the husband is able to dissolve his wife's vow, nazr, if his vow made it without, if the vow actually was made without his permission, and similar is the position, of course, with a father who can revoke the vow made by his son, because these are people who sometimes make use of their fathers. Maybe when it comes to the child, he uses his father's money to make a vow, and the husband is a dependent on the wife is a dependent on her husband, and she uses her husband's money or property to make a nazr. So without the permission of the husband and without the permission of the father, the vow will be invalid. And I should say that if a child, actually, let's say a son or a daughter, makes a vow without the permission of his father, or even his father, of course, let's say the father, yes, then the vow made by him or her is invalid. And of course, if the father first allows, or the husband allows first, and then after a while, he changes his mind and says, no, you should not do it. I allowed you in the first place, but okay, now I've changed my mind and I don't want you to change. In that case, the husband cannot revoke the vow. The father cannot revoke the vow. Yes.
Sheikh Javed, if a husband allow his wife to make a vow, can he prevent her, his wife, from completing the vow to the full?
You are right. That this is what I actually tried to say. And I said that if a woman makes a vow with the permission of her husband...
If the permission is given...
Yeah, the permission is given. First of all, I said that if the husband gives the permission, then he cannot stop her. And he cannot abrogate the vow. He cannot cancel the vow. And, of course, he cannot restrain his wife from fulfilling the vow. That's the point, okay? He, the husband, cannot restrain his wife from fulfilling the vow after he gave her permission to make the vow, to make the nazr.
I see. Sheikh Javed, if a person makes a vow to recite the Quran, is reciting the Quran by just looking at the scripts in any position other than the prayer valid? Is one relieved of a vow, and is the fulfillment of such obligation waived?
Well, there is no objection to someone looking at the script of the Quran in and of itself. It is, it's okay, and it's recommended because there is sawab in just looking at the script of the Holy Quran according to a narration. But when it comes to a vow, if a person makes a vow to recite the Quran, you know, reciting is one thing and just looking at the script is another thing. So the nazr is not fulfilled according to the vow he made, because when he says that I'm going to recite, so looking at the scripture or a script of the Quran is not considered to be recitation. Okay, if a person says, okay, I'm going to just go through the Quran and just read it and without even moving my tongue, and if the vow was made like this, then it is fulfilled. It's okay. If he just looks at the verses of the Quran from the beginning till the end, then it is okay. And of course, I should say it in a nutshell, it depends squarely on the intention, mm-hmm. on the intention, because it depends on how you made the formula, how you made the intention. And if you act according to the intention you made in the first place, then the vow is fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. And thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو